Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Hello, Star Wars fans! Welcome to Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told, and we have a spectacular episode here for episode 18 as we plow forward celebrating Star Wars in the universe. I am joined by two of the biggest Star Wars nerds I know to join me for this very special episode as we break down the Force Awakens teaser trailer that woke us up all Friday morning at 7 a.m. local time. That, of course, is Christian Harloff and Mark Ellis of the Schmoes No Movie Show, which I allegedly produce.
Allegedly. Great word.
Yeah. But I'm here to, let me tell you right now, we're here to talk about 88 Seconds of Gold. And this is the show. If you're cynical or you're just a casual Star Wars fan, keep watching. You might come out on the other end a bigger fan. But if you don't like to have a sports center of Star Wars where we break down everything and ad nauseum, where we dive in, where we celebrate, where we prognosticate, this might not be the episode for you. We're going to have some fun here today talking about one of the greatest events in the life of any Star Wars fan, quite frankly. Christian, Mark, yep. Thanks for being here today.
Of course, dude. Yeah, we're super excited. It's funny. He and I have been texting each other like crazy since this thing has gone down. So this is the first time we've actually talked about it on any show.
We've laid eyes on each other in over a week. And the first thing we're going to do is talk. And you know what? Nobody made me happier when I was texting everybody under the sun about this trailer when I got Ken's reaction. Because Ken, I'm not going to call you a curmudgeon, but sometimes it's harder to get you to appreciate things, even within the Star Wars universe, than other people. And when I heard that you love the trailer as much as you did, I was like, good. Yeah. Now everybody in the universe is on board.
My 10-year friendship with Christian was in jeopardy when I said I didn't like A New Dawn or Rebels that much. We're still working through
it.
We're going through friends therapy. Right. Now, my normal co-pilot, Maude Garrett, is my co-pilot. Wookiee. Maude Garrett is on location in London. She's actually doing some work getting to interview the cast of The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies. So that's good enough. You got to leave the country for some work. That's some good work to do. But she's going to be calling in live from London, United Kingdom, the world, the universe, in a bit. But like I said, this is a special episode of Jedi Alliance. If you've come to love our segments, Duel of Fates and In Memory and Forced On and all that stuff, that will all return next week. This week, we are just going to dive in and break it down. The Star Wars Episode 7 teaser trailer, like you said, 88 Seconds of Gold. Christian, Mark.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited about this thing, man.
When start you call with you, Laffy.
88 Seconds of Gold, it's like, here's what I did. On Friday morning, I woke up, and this is 2 days after I was bamboozled by the incredible fan-made
there
trailer.
There was a ton of fan. There's a ton of fan.
My brother and I sat down and watched that because I thought it was the real thing, and I had to call Christian afterwards. He had to talk me off the roof, and I was like, I got to explain to my whole family. I had to show them a fake trailer. And then when this thing's coming out on Friday morning, I had such an emotional tug of war going on because I was flying from Florida to Cleveland, and I tried to watch it on my iPhone 6 Plus, and it hadn't been released yet. I was like, okay, then I'll watch it when I land. And then I was like, nah, man, there's a theater in Cleveland that's going to have it. Maybe I should just wait as a fan and see it on the big screen for the first time. And that went away when I was waiting in Charlotte for about 30 minutes for my flight, and I got on the computer, and I saw the tweets come in, and I was like, you got to do this now, man. You got to do this now. I found a small corner in the airport. Nobody was around. Turned on the trailer. Watched it 30 times in a row.
Masturbated in the corner.
And bodily fluids were ejected. I mean, look, I got
Sir, you're going to have to leave Cleveland.
Right. And then he showed him the trailer, and I was like, I understand.
It was so good. It was perfect. It was exactly what I wanted as a fan.
Yeah, you?
Listen, I was supposed to see it in the theater, like Mark said, with John Campy and John Schnepp for AMC. We planned out, we're going to do this big thing.
A little field trip with the boys.
Yeah, and we were going to do a little AMC movie talk thing for it. And so it comes out, and I go, well, I have to watch it first. Then so I did, and what I was worried about beforehand was what the tone was going to be like. And I've been saying this a lot, is that you, regardless of what, look, the first episode one trailer, it's a great trailer.
It's a thing of beauty.
All three of us can agree. That's still one of my favorite things in the Star Wars
movie. And what I think we all can agree on as well is if you watch that trailer now after knowing what that movie is, it doesn't change the tone of what that movie is. It's the same tone.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a polished turd, but it is absolutely the same movie if you look at it in the tone of the way it was set up. This was what I was worried about going into this. What's the tone going to be like? And the tone was old school. And when you hear that voice right up top, I said, okay, wait a minute. So first of all, you start analyzing, and I know we're going to get into that. But I'm watching, and I loved, my overall thoughts were that I loved that we didn't see any of the old characters because it is crucial to set up these brand new characters. And by doing it with Boyega and doing it with Ridley, but my favorite thing was seeing Isaac as a rebel pilot. That no one knew that was coming.
And you did get to see a couple old characters. You got to see an X-Wing, and you got to see the Millennium Falcon.
And Fighter.
I think, and just very quickly, touching on the Phantom Menace trailer, what the Phantom Menace trailer did, and what maybe it should have done for the time, is it relied on the Star Wars nostalgia when it came on with the slow, sweeping music.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought we were going to get here. And I loved what J.J. did with this trailer, because it didn't rely on pulling on our heartstrings to say, hey, remember how much you love Star Wars? This thing kicked off with new characters we've never met before, and it was cocky
and familiar, but still familiar though.
I mean, you could hear the Imperial Probe little thing. You could see the star, and you slowly realized that this was Star Wars. If you're a fan in a movie theater who didn't know that this thing was coming on, and I love the confidence in the storytelling that this thing is going to be. It's going to be furthering the universe, not just falling back on things that we already love.
And we know that it's going to have like kids. We know that kids will be able to watch it. But this, it didn't just cater to children. It was what I loved about this trailer, and we said it in our trailer review, everyone involved in this trailer, every character had a sense of urgency.
Yep.
Everything that
didn't it seem like every character was rushing towards getting tickets to see Star Wars?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because, like, they wake up, they're running towards somewhere.
They were like the first kid in the Phantom Menace when they run through and they jump with their lightsabers. I watched this after in the middle of 30 hours of consecutive work at my day job.
And you're a trooper.
Laid down on my office floor for about an hour and woke up and I was like, oh, it's 6, it's 7 a.m. Let me check. And I got it. The first place I watched was Jenna Bush's Legion of Leia page. Popped up on my Twitter feed. I clicked on it. Let's go. Let's dive in. Brought in one of my coworkers and I said, this is going to be either the greatest moment of my life or I'm going to quit and move back home right now. And I fell the first few seconds. I actually thought it was another fan trailer, not because of Boyega or anything. It was so crisp and clear.
Yeah.
I thought it was shot on a Sony XA10 in someone at Pismo Beach. And I was like, what? And then the ball droid comes around, a little suck, and I'm like, I'm not watching. And then suddenly you're like, oh, wait. And my senses settled, and
seeing Oscar Isaac as the X-Wing pilot, that was the one that sealed it for everybody that you're watching Star Wars. And plus, just the look that he had in his eyes, didn't that remind you of Wedge Antilles? Just the cool
confidence about that
he had that maybe he's related. Maybe is
rumors.
Oscar Isaac related to Dennis Lawson?
One of our fans, Kai Belling, put on our Facebook page, after watching the trailer, my brother translated the writing on Oscar Isaac's vest, and apparently it says 5. Could it be the new Red 5? Could this affect the rumored Red 5 spinoff movie? Again,
how's that going to affect my now defunct Honda Civic, which had the license plate Red 5?
I loved seeing Boyega first come up, and it's like his work site. I know we're all fans of what he's going to bring to this.
We've been saying he's going to be like the new Luke of the trilogy.
Yeah, so you start there, you got Daisy Ridley, it's all familiar,
and
Tatooine.
It's a minority character, then it's a female character before we see anybody else in the Star Wars universe. And again, this is how cocky this trailer is. It's furthering the war. It's not just relying on the things we already know about
Hispanic
Star Wars.
Character too.
Then Oscar Isaacs, and you see the X-Wings, which are, by the way, different. They're altered. The wings are different now. The S-foils lock into one wing.
Yeah.
I may have analyzed this frame by frame all through the
week. I've seen the thing 100 times. I didn't pick up on that. But
yeah, they're different.
Well done.
They're different wings, kids. But that was the first familiar, like, oh, and then the voiceover, circus. That was just perfectly done.
Yeah. I mean.
End of show.
Yeah, that's it. That's done. But the fact that this show is called, I mean, the fact that this movie is called The Force Awakens, and every Star Wars title, we can argue about Attack of the Clones, but had a meaning of the overall tone of the film. Mm-hmm. From just the 88-second trailer, it seems to be the case with this as well, because he said, you know, there's been an awakening.
Yeah.
Have you felt it?
Have you felt it?
And, I know you want to analyze this a little later, but it's just a matter of, you see the balance that's going to happen.
Keep him from the analysis as long as I can.
It's okay.
It's like the Rancor, you know, you got to let him out.
He just recorded Far, Far Away by himself. So
I did an hour by myself on Far, Far Away.
You're like the Colin Cowherd of Star Wars.
Today I was.
We're talking about reactions first, and when it ended, And the Falcon flies off, and that familiar sound of the TIE fighter and the laser blast, and the and then it cuts the fades to black or the title card. I just sat there for a moment and thought, he's done it. And I haven't even seen the movie. And you know what? You're right. The Phantom Menace trailer was great, and this movie could end up being just as bad as Phantom Menace in mine. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Because tone. The tone, the look, the Falcon with the little...
The acting.
The trails, the
There was
acting.
No focus on acting in Phantom Menace. Well, there was no focus...
And the reality, the way career. That you felt like... I felt like I was actually yeah. in on Tatooine, just for those brief scenes. I felt like I was in the snow.
It was lived in.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt like I was in the Millennium Falcon. I was in a ship mm-hmm. that's trying the Millennium Falcon. The way that he did that shot, and it splits the TIE fighters, then it goes into the Star Wars. That was the nostalgia that I wanted. You could have ended that trailer with the Sith Lord opening the lightsaber, and I would have been cool with that. But the fact that you gave us something that is the Millennium Falcon,
they do actually end it though with a lightsaber. The last thing you hear. And do you hear what Good Morning America said today?
No.
So Good Morning,
I missed that.
Well, Good Morning America today.
That's Chate's favorite Robin Williams movie.
Yeah. Well, not that's true. Not only confirmed that Andy Serkis indeed was the voice of the trailer, the whole entire trailer, not two voices like some people were saying. Right. The end, that lightsaber is in fact Luke's Skywalker's lightsaber from Episode 4. It's awesome. That lightsaber. So that means some stuff.
Wow, that's interesting.
So, all right. I mentioned reaction. One of the people I know had one of the greatest reactions to this because she recorded it and played it for the world to see, and it actually made a compilation YouTube video of people's reactions.
It was on Star Wars 7 News.
Star Wars 7 News, our very own Modawan, Maud Garrett, calling in from London. Maud, are you on the phone now?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you perfectly fine, like you're a hobbit chasing a ring.
I'm on Star Wars 7 News?
You made it. Yeah, you're on Star Wars 7 News.
That's so cool.
Yep.
And now you're on Jedi Alliance. Congratulations.
Hello, Mood.
I'm on Jedi Alliance. I love that show.
Me too.
It's a great show. Maud, we saw your reaction on video, but I want you to describe the emotions as best you can for us all.
I think it's called The Force Awakens because it's awakening the original feelings that we had for the Star Wars that we love the most, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, I feel like I'm watching it for the first time. And in a way, we are. We're watching the whole CGI and live action together, which I think is pretty cool. It looks pretty seamless.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a bit of a blur. You know how, like, we all do this job, and sometimes if you have to deliver a speech or something and all eyes are on you and you're talking and then afterwards you have no idea what you said. I had that in the opposite effect where everyone was watching this trailer and afterwards no one knew what they saw, so they have to watch it straight again. I haven't analyzed it in the stop motion framing that it sounds like Christian and Riley have. Because I don't want to spoil things for myself. I don't want to read too much into things just in case it's not what I had maybe penned. I kind of want to be told a story and not rush it. Because we've got a year. We have a whole year.
Yeah, we do have a whole year. I totally agree with that, Maud. You know, I've been trying to stay away from spoilers and stories. I don't go to Star Wars 7 News that much because I don't want to be spoiled. This weekend, I've been in my room in a notepad like I was 14 writing out theories. You know, like, I don't know. And that's what the
truth is. You're one of them, Ken. I've lost you.
I'm 10. But Maud.
Good.
Maybe
good.
You could agree. I think I agree with your saying. It has awakened that feeling. I told Christian today, this is the most happiest I've been since I was 10 as a Star Wars fan.
In life.
Yeah. It was exhilarating. I mean, even like the Millennium Falcon, the X-Wings, like, I think I couldn't even help it. I was just like, that is sex. That is hot. They look great. Like, they boil my blood. This is hot. Like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I did notice the absence of, you know, the original trilogy, the fact that the threesome didn't make an appearance remotely, which makes me try not to question, but it does raise suspicions. How much of the movie are they in? Are they going to play pivotal roles, or is it going to just merely be a cameo? I loved the first thing we saw with John Boyega and the way that they did that as well. Everyone jumped. Everyone was like, because we didn't expect that. And then, of course, it's like, whoa, is he a rogue stormtrooper? What's his mission? Did he crash on Tatooine with his squadron that we saw a little bit later?
You're speculating like too now.
I try not to. I don't want to. And I don't want to kind of search for an answer. And a couple of things that I've been, you know, people are flooding in with all their theories, which is pretty cool. Because there's just so many things that it could be. No answer is wrong at the moment, except that there's people going, I thought stormtroopers were clones. Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, there are some wrong reactions. Some horrible, horrendous reactions to Boyega's character.
Right.
That's disappointing to say
really
the best.
Unfair. I love that the first person that we saw, you know, was an African-American guy. Well, and he's killing it. He looks like he's having
British,
the best time.
Yeah.
I follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, worshipping all of this. This is, like, the best time of his life. And that makes me happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I was just going to say, in regards to the Boyega Stormtrooper thing, there's two people that are responding in the negative way, and it's one, there's morons who just are looking and saying, you know, oh, you can't have a black Stormtrooper yet, but yet you can have a Twi'lek with a lightsaber. That's okay. So they're idiots there as far as just saying that. But then there's the other misinformed fan, like you said, Maude, that's saying, well, I thought they're all clone troopers. That's just a fan that doesn't know the canon yet.
Yeah.
Because if you followed all the canon, Dave Filoni has answered it, Simon Kinberg, these are recruits. And because when you look at how big the Empire is, it's a big galaxy. There's only so much they could do, and eventually the clone trooper died out, so they had to recruit. But one thing, Maude, what you said before too, as far as not having the original cast in, I don't think that's a concern at all. What I think that is, I think that's J.J. Abrams saying, you know, hey, look, this is the new generation. Our main characters, the characters you know, they have a big part, but this is about to let you know these are the ones we want to introduce you first because they are going to take us into 7, 8, and 9.
That was my thought as well, is because it gave me more confidence in this movie, like I needed it, but I have more belief in what he's telling because he doesn't have to rely on showing us, cool, bearded Mark Hamill, now I'm going to go see this movie. Yeah. He showed us new stuff and we loved it.
It could have very easily ended with Hamill and a beard and Luke's lightsaber.
Right. And I would have lost my mind on that, too.
Absolutely. Right. I wouldn't have complained.
I just got goosebumps hearing
that. I wouldn't have complained. But again, I always joke, you can joke, I always talk in terms of pro wrestling, but Christian, you'll agree. This is WrestleMania with Hogan putting over Rock.
Absolutely.
This is Abrams saying, we've got the future.
Yeah.
The legends are handing over the lightsabers, theoretically.
Yeah, and don't fret, because in the next trailer that comes around Star Wars Celebration, I'm pretty sure they're going to be featured pretty heavily.
Yeah, which is also the same weekend as my birthday, so I'm excited.
I was going to say, I'm almost glad that they're not using those three as a crutch, because you're right, this is a new chapter, this is a new generation.
Yeah.
People are seeing this movie for the first time, you know, that really didn't grow up on these other characters. So I think that you're right, they need to really nurture and cherish the new characters that they've got, because they are going to be the foundation.
And that does fuel a lot of fun speculation, too, is because, look, I like speculation when it comes to these movies. What my concern is that when the speculation becomes expectation, and then you're going into the movie, and you're like, oh, I hope that that character is this guy. And then when you find out it's somebody else, like, if you really hope that Sith Lord is somebody, and then it turns out to be somebody else, you're like, well, I didn't know they were going to take it that way. I don't want this to become the Zapruder film and the Kennedy assassination.
That's
a great
point, Mark, because one of the things, again, I love the Phantom Menace trailer, but what got me wasn't, the Jar Jar stuff, all that stuff, but you know what got me more than anything? Based on the teaser trailer, I had the plot in my head, and when it didn't happen the way I expected based on the trailer, I was like, oh, that wasn't the movie I wanted.
Yeah, and so when people break this down and they psychoanalyze every frame and they take a look at like what it says on the X-Wing pilot's chest, it's neat, and it's fun to do this stuff because this is what we've been given so far.
Yeah.
And I think I think every shot of that was calculated. So there are certain things that we're supposed to be talking about, like why does that guy's lightsaber stick out on the side? What is that used for? What is the new Millennium Falcon deflector shield? I'm not going to be the guy that gets so far into this that there's no way out once
I see more about it.
I mean, I think this for as fans, especially as hardcore fanatics, it's like when you break down. Depending on how you do it like anything else, you do it responsibly. And it's like, if you have all these different ideas, the thing with you say
you're
not responsible. I am not responsible.
Well,
right now.
When you say Phantom Menace, though, the reason that you were disappointed overall with the story arc is because the story sucked. And what they the film sucked, not the story. The story could have been okay.
I agree with that.
But so what I'm saying is that if the execution, even if your ideas, because I have a lot of ideas which we'll talk about with that Sith, and if none of them happen, but it's executed in a better way, I'll be fine.
Maude, I want to talk to you while we got you here from London about give me some of your favorite little moments from this 88 seconds of gold, as I'm calling it.
The 88 seconds. Best 88 seconds of my life. I kind of actually wanted to bring up a point about, you know, the fact that every scene in this was very, very calculated.
Yeah.
JJ doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't do things in a flippant manner. We've seen when he shows a card, like there's hints on everything. He's a very calculated master. you know. Mm. So I think you're right. Everything that we show in here is going to serve a purpose, is for like a greater reveal. And that's what I respect about JJ. At the same time, he's a man that knows he cannot mess this up. He did Star Trek. He likes Star Trek. He didn't love it like he does Star Wars.
Yeah.
And those movies were pretty cool. They weren't great.
Yes, they were.
You know, clothes melting off my body, great. And Star Wars is means so much to so many people. And it actually means more to him than a lot of people. Like, he loves it. So this is his baby.
Yeah.
He can't mess this up. So when we talk about the fact that George Lucas did, like, he's not flawless. You know, he makes George Lucas made mistakes and it ended up costing him his entire company. But JJ, I feel with this one, he knows that it has to work. What did I love about this trailer?
Yeah.
I am a ship girl. I love my ships.
You love
my ships.
I thought
that they were the best part.
Yeah. Yeah. What about
By far,
Falcon?
They're the moments that I oohed the most. I mean, the lightsaber was cool because you just weren't expecting that. There's so many things that have been leaked and, you know, people on set revealing pictures and plot storyline twists and everything like that. I think that was the one that was under the wraps the most. No one knew that was coming. No one saw the saber sword. What are they going to call it? The tri-blade? What are we calling it?
The broadsword, the broad saber.
Except for those people who look at spoilers.
Yeah. What kind of face was Christian making just then? Because I can picture it.
Yeah.
It's the one with his mouth open.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can picture it. Hey. I'm not saying, I'm just, I don't, I think Riley did it. No, you're not. Ellis. Other one.
Thanks for remembering my last name, Mark.
This is the other Mark.
Really appreciate that.
I should have just stuck with the first name. I couldn't have gone wrong. Sorry.
Yeah. Riley's next week.
It's very late here, and I've had a big day. But you made a very great point about just like the overhype. You know, I think it's like if you unwrap a present and then you. No, I don't have an analogy. Damn it! I thought I was onto something.
Well, I mean, I know what you're saying, but look, I also want. I mean, I want to see this movie so bad now, but I think that I'm trying to stay away from trying to get too deep into it. I like speculating. I want to know who that Sith dude was. You know, I want to know all these things about the universe. I'm just worried that I don't have the canon background that Christian does to where he can see something and be like, oh, I remember reading about something that looked a lot like that. I'm pretty much going on the six movies that I've seen thousands and thousands of times. Probably.
Yeah.
So I'm more like, when I watched the trailer, I was just more like the feeling that it gave me, as opposed to I'm going to study this thing and see and try to look in the woods and see if there's somebody running in the background, which I did try to do a lot.
Yeah. I want to read some.
I think there's a difference though between like, who's going to play that person? It could be this. It could be that. Why would it be them? What if it was? there's a difference between that and plot line. Going, it's going to start like this. This is what happens. This is the crux. This is the, you know, outcome. I think plotline spoilers are the things that I want to avoid the most. Because if I find out what the entire story is before I even go in there, that's going to blow.
That won't be fun. I don't know how much longer we have you here. I know it's late in London if you got to go jump off, but I want to read a couple of reactions from the fans and then we'll move on to the breakdown of the trailer. From our Facebook page, which of course is the Jedi Alliance, look for it on Facebook. Jade Matheson says, absolutely perfect teaser, just enough to get you excited and not enough to show you the whole damn movie. Falling more and more in love with JJ as the days go by. Sam Clerk says, the magic is real. Those who deny said magic may line up for a one-way ticket to Alderaan. And Efren Guzman of the Atomic Podcast says, it was pure stimulation. Enough said. So, generally, fans out there, I haven't seen a whole lot of negative reaction.
I mean, I've seen a couple. I've seen a couple just being like, it looked fan-made. I don't think it was satisfying for the diehards. I have to disagree. Oh my gosh. Just play me the music and I'm happy. Like, I just, you know. And then they're not mucking around with the Millennium Falcon too much. The X-Wings are great. I'm actually excited about the formation strategy that they used. I was like, ew, that looks kind of bad. Like, that's hot. I've got a different taste in things, though.
You've analyzed the X-Wings formation? I like that. That's a good girl. That's a good girl over there in London.
I'm going to go now, guys.
I'm going
to hang up the phone and go back to the Hobbit premiere. Thank you.
All right. Have fun. Say hi to Evangeline Lilly for me.
Bye, Mode.
She looks great. I did have a chat with Andy Serkis, though, who didn't reveal much, but we did speak Star Wars just a tad.
Awesome.
Nicely done, Maud. Thanks for repping.
Tell him Christian says hello. All right, Maudie, we will see you back in studio next week. See you, see you. Thanks to Maud taking time out from her work, fun work as it is, to call in and join us there. So let's, guys, the reaction is out on the table. We know that we all loved it. You're measured. You're excited. And I'm just straight goofy about the excitement of it. But let's move down into
measured mean? If they just tuned in late, Kenny, that sounds like I didn't love the trailer. No. I don't know what you're accusing me of,
Mark,
sir.
Mark Ellis loved the trailer like any seven-year-old boy would.
Thank you.
It's just he doesn't want to be let down like he was in Phantom Menace or his last relationship. And so he is measuring his response.
And I agree with Maud when she said that, you know, you want to analyze this stuff, but once you get into story, and what you think the plot points are, even if it's people speculating, like, oh, I think this is going to happen and that's why this guy is, if that turns out to be correct when you see the movie, it's going to be like, I know a little bit of this, you know?
I don't know. It's because there's a lot of things even speculating that Boyega was going to be on the run and kind of be the good guy. Like, I had been calling that and seeing that, and when I saw it, I was actually super excited. It was like, oh, wait a minute. So he is the lead guy. I've been calling for this guy to be a lead. So I don't disagree that there are some people that might be on that side of the fence. I'm on the opposite side because for me, as I see these things happening, I get to see what I've been hoping and praying for. And if it, like I just said before, if it doesn't and it's a better version of that, then yes, I'm
in. But what if it's an alternate version? Like, cause I know at some point then the expectation is going to be too much even for you where it's like you don't want to even assume everything. It's not, none of us are going to know what this movie is until we see the movie, but we're going to be assuming I don't want to get too far down that path.
Right. No, I know what you mean. Look, the opening shot with Boyega, what we think is Tatooine, it could be something else.
Right.
We know,
some people are calling out because they only see one sun, but there's two things. Maybe the effects aren't done. Maybe they shot it.
Make sense. But when Boyega pops up and he's sweating, he's in a stormtrooper outfit, a new modified version, and he's running, we think urgency. He could just be late for his lunch break. We don't know.
There's a couple of cool theories, though.
There is, and we'll get into that here in a bit. But I want a little breakdown here, and JT, feel free to throw up all those pictures as we go along. Let's start from the beginning with the voiceover, which we now know is Circus. I was on the record early.
You were. Absolutely.
You thought it was Circus?
Yeah,
he did. Circus from the first moment because the second line, have you felt it? If you listen closely, it sounds like Andy.
Yeah, people are screaming out Cumberbatch at first. And I never thought Cumberbatch.
I was screaming out Max von Sydow, who I apologized to him again because I thought he was dead like 3 years ago. But when I was watching it in the Charlotte airport, and I had the sound jacked all the way up. I could hear great. I got a nice big computer. Yeah. I was saying, that's Max von Sydow.
And I know Schnepp did. Close. It's a processed voice. Yeah. But Circus... That's why you'd bring him in, I think, to me. But just the words alone, there's been an awakening.
Have you felt it?
Oh, I started doing that. Yeah. I'm doing it now.
That was the good stuff.
And then you're like, well, what am I going to see here?
But it's just that voice, dude. The way he commits and the way, like, when you realize it's him and then you listen to it again and you realize the big part that he has, like, who's he talking to?
What I love too is the cast is so big and the announcements and all that kind of stuff, and Circus was there on that big day. At times, you kind of forget, Circus is in this. Oh. Gleason from Harry Potter's in this. You kind of throw it like, Gwendolyn Christie's in this. Circus was one of the ones, as strange enough to say, at time to time I'd forget, like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's
not going
to
forget anymore.
And he's the first thing we hear.
Yeah.
And that makes me think he's very,
and
very important.
When you hear that voiceover, you start thinking, it just sounds evil, right? And then when he gets further and further into it, he says the dark side and the light. Like that's how a really evil Sith dude talks.
I don't know. I don't know if he's evil. First of all, who do you guys think he's talking to?
Okay.
Can we speculate on the voice?
No, let's dive in. We're going to do the breakdown and the predictions, but also this is all going to roll into one. It's a big thing. I do want to read to that. Someone said, Omar Amin, one of our fans. Omar says, you want some wild theories? Sure, I got one. The voice in the trailer is Andy Serkis, now known as Fact.
Nice.
He's playing a dark Jedi or a Sith, and the person receiving the message... Luke Skywalker.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, oh, really? Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
I think he's talking a little.
It's always nice to know when Christian agrees with you because he's read all the books. So he's like, we're kind of on the same page.
I think it makes sense. I think for what he's saying, because so far what they've been pulling from, and I know you've talked about this when Mark Reilly was on the show too, the comic Legacy.
Yeah.
It seems like they're pulling a lot from Legacy. And in Legacy, and this is absolutely just guessing and speculation. In Legacy, Luke goes to the dark side.
Yeah.
This is a 30-year period here. Has Luke strayed? And, you know, so in that case, Andy Serkis or whoever the character is talking to Luke that something is coming. Something has happened let's get on the horse here, buddy. It's time to go.
And if he's also, is that because when he says the light, that sounds like he's trash talking a little bit. Like, the light, like, you pussy. Like, that's what it sounds like.
Right.
And then at the end, like what Christian just said, that it's been revealed that sound at the very end is Luke's lightsaber. From and four. It's like Luke is now, he's been awakened. He has to defend.
We don't know that's Luke. No, Luke's lightsaber from episode four. His hand got, that lightsaber is gone. That's been found.
Yeah, okay. That's what I mean. That's what you're saying. Okay.
I'm saying Luke's saber from the episode four was found.
Yeah.
So and that because
from the Empire, then he lost the Empire Strikes Back. Yeah.
Okay. Now, mind you, this is like when Tim Tebow was on SportsCenter. We're only 10 seconds in, and we're already analyzing all this.
Right.
Just by two lines and this shot behind us for the iTunes listeners of sand dunes, which again could be Pismo Beach. We don't know my hometown. But then, boom, John Williams' fresh new music hits. Boyega's face pops up. Mm-hmm. From the desert there, modernized stormtrooper thing, which I love. I love that Abrams is like, it's still the same stuff, but obviously time has passed. We've changed some technology. The pack in the back is now kind of pushed into the armor. Sweating.
Yeah. And I loved it. Just the fact that unlike us, there's a lot of people in around the world that went to go see the movie this weekend and weren't aware that you're going to see a Star Wars trailer. So when he pops up and you see what he's wearing, you're like, wait, is that Star Wars? And there's a couple of early scenes. You're like, is this the, then you see the X-Men, you're like, oh my God. Then the Millennium Falcon sells it for everybody. But seeing this, the last time that we saw a dude in a Stormtrooper costume that did not have a helmet on, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a real good guy.
I think he's definitely a good guy, if we're going into speculations here. Now, I think that there's a couple of...
Stop speculating, Christian.
A lot of things going on as far as... So he's disheveled. Obviously scared out of his mind. Now,
late for lunch.
Cool, crazy. For me, what I think that he was an actual stormtrooper.
Yeah.
I think he's an actual stormtrooper, was on a mission, maybe something, finally realized that what the Empire is doing at this point, not for him, he's taken off, and you hear the probe droid in the background. And maybe something's happening there. The other crazy theory that I don't agree with is that if you guys are watching Rebels, there's a character that Ezra meets.
Zare Leonis.
Right. And he meets him.
Nicely done.
And people were asking, is it going to be him? And I kept responding, he's 50-some-odd years old, to which a lot of people were responding, Carbonite? Question mark. If you want to do Carbonite and play it into The Awakening and other... Remember, the Inquisitor in Rebels is collecting Force-sensitive beings.
Yeah.
The last we see of that character in Rebels, he's with the Inquisitor.
Yes.
Possible. I don't think that's the case. I think it's more he's a rogue.
I think the character you're talking about is Zare Leonis and his sister Dara Leonis, who were in the Imperial Academy. The Inquisitor takes it away. Again, the first time that I was like, okay, Rebels is getting me, because now they're tying into this Star Wars expanded universe, or connected universe, I should say.
Yeah. I mean... Go ahead.
I don't think it's him. I don't think Boyega. I think though the way they focused on Leonis as a character in that episode just made you think there's something to this story.
Yeah,
it could just play out on the show.
Right.
It could just be by season two. It's like, oh yeah, I found my sister. Thanks for going to the amusement park. But
they're not
trying for that.
Kinberg and Filoni have all said that they're going to be ties to episode 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I see that, dude, it doesn't look like... I was thinking that there's one of two ways this plays out: is that he's on a mission undercover, like what we saw Luke in episode 4 when they were in the Death Star and they dressed up as stormtroopers, and he just has this panic look on his face, like he just defected, like he just jumped ship. And he's worried about his buddies finding him.
I think that's the literal interpretation, which I think is probably...
And you hear that probe droid, too. That probe droid. Yeah. Last time we heard that probe droid, it finds what it's looking for.
Yeah. There are millions of probes. Yeah. I want leads. No, millions of leads. But it's the figurative thing.
Yeah.
There's been an awakening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boom. He pops up. He's awake.
Yeah.
I think that's a Force-sensitive
dude.
That's a Force-sensitive dude who just felt something.
Oh, listen. I think absolutely. I think that he it's going to be awakening him, and I think that's kind of one of the reasons that he goes off, and I think that's where he's going to run into another character we're about to talk about in a second here. But
Admiral Ackbar.
Yes. I think. But look, John Boyega is going to be the lead of this franchise.
Yeah.
And with a second to Daisy Ridley.
Which is why Boyega... I love that he tweeted to us, the naysayers, get used to it.
Yeah.
He's here for a while.
Have you guys seen Attack the Block real quick?
Yeah.
I haven't checked it out yet. Everybody's going to be watching
this
movie.
Dude, look, from the three leads they showed in this movie, with him, Isaac, and Daisy Ridley, both him and Isaac are the two that I've seen so far. I don't know really.
Ridley's unknown, yeah.
But this guy in Attack the Block and in 24, for the little scene that he had in 24, he delivers. He is something special. So it was very, very incredible casting.
Right. So then from there, we got the familiar probe door sounds. It moves. We fade to black. We got the... What we hope is not the Jar Jar of the series.
No, you got the number one selling toy of 2015.
I want one of these as an RC, you know.
It's like Sphero.
It looks a lot like Sphero. It looks like a fun thing that kids are going to love and that adults are going to enjoy, too. And that reminded me that JJ, this franchise is now in the right hands because it looks real. The effects look great. And it looks like something fun that's not going to be annoying.
Yes, Christian.
You know what people don't realize?
What's that?
Everyone thinks that J.J. Abrams and somebody else came up with that design, right? That is Ralph McQuarrie's original design for R2-D2.
Yeah, I read that this morning.
When you read McQuarrie, like everything that they're doing is paying respects to the old designs. They did it in Rebels.
Yeah,
This is a collective team. It's not just, the Rebels are doing something, and then they're doing some of the comics. This is a collective canon team is working.
As I mentioned off-air, I do have Tarkin, the book, in my possession, but I'm actually first reading how Star Wars Conquered the Universe, which is more of a history book, and I'm more of a buff like that. And I'm reading the chapter right now where Lucas had met McQuarrie a while back and was having trouble selling Star Wars, so he said, I got to call that guy who was designing Boeing plane designs. And so McQuarrie had so much to do with the design of Star Wars, as we all know, but it was also what got it sold or kind of moved forward at Fox. So I didn't know that. I didn't hear that theory. You guys are...
Well, when you listen to it's an interview that McQuarrie gave about R2-D2. Mm. He said the original design was this little droid head with a kind of on a ball, and it rolled real fast, and there you go. And then you look in the background, that's Podracer.
I love... You know what? And I saw some negative comments, not necessarily on our Facebook page, but just around the internet this weekend about stupid Podracer. I
love it.
Love that there's Ben Quadrenaros's
I think the concept of pod racing, and it was executed pretty well for what they had to work with in The Phantom Menace in 1999. That's one of the best scenes in that movie.
Yeah.
And just the fact that there's pod racing that goes on in Tatooine, I think it's a great thing.
But it also shows that we have...
Well, this thing, too.
Well, no, there's both. There's the engine there's the speculation that Daisy Ridley...
That's Daisy Ridley's camp.
Is her camp, also she's riding on some salvage parts. She might be a bit of a salvage. She salvaged the goggles.
She's been to Tashi Station a few times.
Yep.
There was someone, maybe I didn't copy it here, but someone pointed out, you know, what they loved about the shot and what you can kind of read in is, and think about it, after Jabba dies... And his reign over Tatooine as the big baddie is gone. God bless you, Jabba, in front of us.
Best way to go. If you got to go, have a half-naked woman strangling you.
Spoiler alert. I don't want to get into geopolitics here, but you know, you take Saddam out of Iraq, and it all goes to hell. Right. Not that it was great with him. But Jabba's gone. Tatooine's a free-for-all.
Right.
You know, Daisy,
30 years.
30 years. Daisy could be hiding out on Tatooine, gathering stuff, or wherever her character, whether or not she's a solo kid or not, whether it's Kira Solo's one of the...
You want to get into that now, or are we too soon?
Well, let's go to the next shot here, JT.
I feel like this is the most exciting thing I've ever seen. When it's like looking at your grandparents' slots in their vacation. Like, and then we met some stormtroopers.
This number one confirms what we all pretty much had confirmed, that this is the design.
Yep.
The pictures had leaked.
All those leaks that have been coming out, all the concept art that's been coming out seems legit.
To be pretty good, so I'm going to stay away from it now until it's on screen. Love it. And what I'm getting from a lot of people, well, that stormtrooper's a little short.
Yeah, that's probably...
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
I think that's the opening scene of the movie. I think this is the beginning. I think this is how we're starting the movie. Oh. I think it opens up. I think Boyega is that guy. I think they're out on their mission or whatever it is. And on that mission, that's when he says, I don't want to do this anymore. And like you said, the awakening of the Force happens. But that's the opening shot.
Part of me wants that to not be the opening shot, just so I can nudge Christian and be like, ah!
I don't think it is, because, you know, Lucas had a little hand in consulting Abrams. I think the opening scene is Boyega signing up for his healthcare benefits as a stormtrooper.
That's true.
I love this. The new blasters. Yep. I'm going to buy one of those at Toys R Us for Christmas.
Absolutely.
I'll buy it for my kid. I have no kids.
I love the Saving Private Ryan kind of element to it.
Oh,
right?
Very good point.
Yeah, take a look at that.
Yeah, I mean, I also felt like, and this is going back to Boyega too, is that it felt a little at the beginning of the Bourne Identity too, when you're just coming out of something, like you just something big just happened, and now you're coming too. So it's like, if they're all charging in on some mission, or they're going to, because stormtroopers, what do they love more than anything? They love frying people on Tatooine,
and missing their shots.
And not these ones though. And I have a feeling that is going to happen. I think episode 7, they're going to hit their targets, and they're not going to be going down by one shot anymore.
And here's what I loved about this sequence here. The shots of the troopers, the guns, the cut, the jump ship.
Mm-hmm.
that's a realistic view and take on something we love, which is Star Wars, the battle. We know Abrams is definitely, this confirms, he's taking this fantasy world and he's putting a little rust on it. That looked real to me.
Well, you know what's awesome about it too, though? It shows...
There's actors in there.
Yeah, but it shows the Empire has gone nowhere.
Unless,
which I don't think is the case, unless they happen to be fighting for the Rebel Alliance now, which is now the New Republic, which I don't think is the case. I think it's the Empire. But it's... If you look up, they're clean, they're polished, those weapons are brand new.
Yeah.
It is not, it's going to take a lot more than just killing the Emperor and some fuzzy bears to go and...
Really cute.
Yeah, fuzzy bears. But it's going to take a lot more than that to take out an Empire. So what happened to the Grand Moffs?
And it's been 30 years, and so when you talk about the Awakening and you say that they've probably been in hiding, maybe they pulled a Yoda and just went and chilled out on a foreign planet for a little bit. And maybe, you know, again, this might be the first mission that they're on, or they might start to be going around and terrorizing the galaxy, and then that's when a guy like Boyega was like, this is not what I signed up for. Yeah.
What if this trailer, 88 seconds, 50 of it was just a gray Wicket cooking a squirrel?
Right.
I want to see the movie.
Okay, no. Yeah. But I agree with that. I think this could be a great opening.
Yeah.
You don't know where you're at. You're on a mission. Boom. Something happens. People have analyzed this picture.
I mean, there might be like a prologue thing that happens in the very beginning.
Well, let's not forget, too, is it? There's going to be three paragraphs that are going to catch us up here a little bit. You know, there's going to be, it's going to come up and it's going to say, somebody woke up on the wrong side of the force this morning.
Here's what's been going on in the last 30 years.
Yeah. And so we're going to know what, like, now Imperial troops race to fry Daisy Ridley's homeland.
Well, and what we, people, and for the iTunes listening audience only, we got the picture up with the drop ship or the jump ship's
looking at the calf muscles of stormtroopers and analyzing it.
People have analyzed that shot to the point where they swear they see moisture evaporators in the background.
As soon as I saw that thing come down, and again, I'm not an expert on this. I'm no Christian Harloff on this, but as soon as I saw that come down, I'm like, that looks like Tatooine at night. To me, it looks like a nice desert night. Let's go see the Eagles perform.
I think Ellis is 100% right, and what I think about in there is that everything you see in the beginning of the first couple shots, all Tatooine, even the next shot.
Yep. Go bring it up.
Go to that next shot, JT, and we're right back on Tatooine.
We got Daisy Ridley.
What's that right there?
Yeah, the shot. For those at iTunes,
That's a cute girl on her little
very remnant. She looks like a little bit like Natalie Portman. A little bit like Carrie Fisher Young. Mm-hmm. She's got what possibly looks like a salvaged or repurposed lightsaber
or Tusken Raider staff. If you look at the entire, length
That's
of it.
Good. I didn't think about that too.
Yeah.
I mean, that she's got some goggles. This is, if she's one of our main heroes, she, like someone before her, has been hiding out in the desert for a while.
I think the Force is strongest with this one and anybody in the new trilogy that we're going to get. I think she's the one with all the Force powers. I think she's a child of I think she's a Skywalker.
Yeah.
And I think that...
You think she's a Skywalker?
I think she's a Skywalker because, look, I don't know why... Or it could be, I mean...
Well, that she'd be a Solo kid if she...
Yes, Christian, but she would have the Force powers.
Well, sure, but...
You know, she's related to Luke or Leia.
And
I don't understand why if you're living on the lush forest moon of Endor, why you would ever move back home to Tatooine. Yeah. Like, Tatooine is like where you drive by and you're like, kids, this is where we used to grow up. Now let's get the hell out of here.
Okay, going to one of our fan theories, David Badroff says, are we 100% certain that Han and Leia did get married and living happily ever after with kids? Is this canon? We don't know yet.
We know she got drunk and made out with Chewie at that party.
Yeah. I hope it is, but could they have changed this? Is Daisy Plain maybe Luke's daughter and this was his farm scrapyard on Tatooine? So yeah, there's some people out there that are kind of, you know, thinking that.
I don't think Han and Leia will be together in this movie, but I do think they had kids. And I think she is absolutely their child. And here's what I think happened. I think that she and her brother, who we may or may not see in this trailer, which we'll speculate about in a second, I think she is looking for drunk Uncle Luke. Because I think Luke hasn't been seen in a very long time.
Are you kids with your spirit?
Yeah. She's in her 20s. She's close to 20, whatever she is. And she knows where Luke's from. She knows where her grandfather's from. She goes to Tatooine and she's racing around. It looks like she's got that thing where she's building. So maybe she got that from her grandfather because her grandfather was the master builder. And she does not look panicked, does not look scared. She looks like she's on a mission and is doing something. I think she's going to run into Boyega and then they're going Boyega is going to be hunted by the Empire, whatever he's being hunted for. She's going to help and they're going to go on a mission to look for Luke.
And we have our first disagreement of the show. You don't think she looks a little panicked? You don't think she looks like maybe there's some people chasing her?
I think
she's got to get the hell out of
there. Panicked and determined are two different things.
And she looks a little panicked.
I think Boyega looked panicked.
I think she is hurried.
Yeah. I think
okay,
hurried.
Good.
I think hurried.
Be quick. Yeah. I'll split the middle.
Be quick.
Yeah, I think hurried. I'll go with hurried for sure. She needs to get it done.
It's cut to look like the intensity. Yeah. Is going. But and then she rides away on a chocolate fudge bar.
Yeah. But you look at that saber's gone. That Tuscan Raider thing's gone, too. Is that just a continuity error?
It's a continuity error. Could be there. So she rides off, and then we move on. By this point, you're like, what am I watching? I've seen the new cast. It's definitely Star Wars. There's a desert. But then what do we got
next? New planet.
JTE. Yes. There we go. It's not Oscar, or it's not Wedge Antilles. It's not the guy who was found Han hiding out in a tauntaun with Luke. Right.
That looks so much like Wedge Antilles.
It does look like Wedge. Dennis Lawson, of course, refusing to appear in Episode 7.
Dummy.
You've got a redesigned, again, it's familiar. You know right away it's a Rebel pilot, but it's the future. Things have changed. They've added some little...
Actually, Ken, it's the past.
Well,
okay. Long time ago. Yeah. Oh.
You know, Lucas originally intended this to be in the 33rd century. So you've got the writing, which we know some fans have maybe translated from books that says five. Now we're home, baby.
Yeah,
we're home. And the next shot even solidifies it even more. But I do want to talk about Isaacs. We had speculated a lot.
Jason Isaacs. Yeah, I always get confused. I do the same thing all the time.
I got you. We'll know now after this. No one will forget his name. Llewellyn Davis.
Where's the cat?
There's been speculation, just based on what people thought of him as an actor, that he'd be kind of a rogue.
I still think he will.
So I'm sure he could be. But
you think he'll be a rogue?
But
I think what's going to... I mean...
I never heard any speculation. Again, I cut off some of my speculation and rumor reading. Yeah. But I never heard that he'd be part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take him away.
That was the most shocking to me when I saw it. I didn't see it coming. And one of the biggest things that a lot of people were saying is when Harrison Ford was hurt, that a lot of scenes were written for him. Mm. And I think what's going to happen, there's two things. There's a theory that I think everybody can probably agree on, and then one that you guys might think I'm nuts. But I think the first one is that he's going to eventually, whether this is the beginning or whatnot, he's going to be fighting, and he's going to meet up with Han, and he's going to be in control of the Falcon. Right. I think eventually after Han dies, he will be in control of the Falcon. Now, the crazy part is I wouldn't be surprised if he was also Han and Leia's son.
At this point, I'd lean towards that now more than Driver.
Just based on
what this shot shows me.
Yeah, see, I just think he's a leader. I think he's a leader. I think that's why they probably honor people with the Red Five now. If you're in the rebellion or you're a rebel, and that's probably now the number one call sign to have. You know, it's like retiring a number.
I get that.
I'm much more convinced that Daisy Ridley's character is related to a Skywalker than I am Oscar Isaac.
I agree with that. Out of the two of them, it's absolutely.
Yeah, I just saw him, and I saw the look on his face, and he just looks like the guy that you trust, like a Wedge Antilles, who's the wingman of a Skywalker, he doesn't look like a guy who knows how to use the Force, to me.
I totally agree with that. And then we go to this next shot here. The next couple shots are some of my favorite of this trailer.
What planet is that?
I have three guesses.
Okay, I'll give you one. I think it's Yavin.
Oh, that was actually not.
I was going to go with the D word.
Dantooine?
Dantooine? Yeah.
See, it could either be. Yavin was one that I agree with also. That would be four. I think that it could also be Corellia.
Okay.
And the last one, it could possibly be Naboo. Now, if you wanted to have
a
battle.
There's not computer effects everywhere.
If you wanted to fight a battle on Naboo, you forget. What happened? You were bringing up Saddam before when Hitler died.
Yeah.
They were studying and going over every bit of research from Germany and doing all this research. Where is Palpatine from?
True.
There could be battles there. You know, the Empire could probably want to protect it. There could be that's a far-fetched theory. I know it's probably more likely the Dantooine or Yavin, because Yavin, I guess, was a Jedi temple.
Well, if you read if you read the Jedi Academy books that follow the Timothy Zahn Heir to the Empire trilogy, Luke goes back, he's drawn back, there's some evil force powers there. It's kind of one of those center, once you went past the Rebel base, there was some scary stuff going out, some haunted forest, basically.
Yeah, now what's the name of the remote planet in either 2 or 3 where they go and he battles the guy with the Grievous?
Utapau.
Genosis? Oh, Utapau. Right.
Yeah.
Where Tarkin is from.
Because I have a feeling that they were dispatched by somebody who has Force powers and is like, oh, you need to go investigate this. It's almost like you get a 911 call and you're like,
This place seems pretty... Utapau is kind of beaten down.
Yeah.
But
wherever they're going is a place where the Force is prominent and people with Force-like stuff are from. Investigating.
Why I'm going to Vegas and laying money down on Yavin. Dantooine's not a bad... We don't know anything about Dantooine other than appeared in the first Clone Wars right. cartoon.
People think that it got blown up. It did not get blown up.
Did I say blown up?
Because they almost got blown up because yeah. that's where Leia said it was. And what a dick move that was.
She tried to throw
their own Dantooine.
Well, look, I think that if you could take Dantooine or Alderaan, I think she's thinking lesser populated Christian.
Absolutely. It's another homeworld.
Yeah.
Dantooine, if you read the description of it on the internet.
Dantooine was too remote to make an effective demonstration. So.
Right. Yeah, far too trusty. Dantooine is a lush lake filled area, but if you look at the shots that are in the Knights of the Old Republic video game and the original Clone Wars cartoon where Mace Windu is there for a while, it's more a little more desert looking, with a little more lakes and stuff into it. Yavin, Naboo's scary enough. Naboo is not a bad guess.
Right, and Corellia. We haven't seen
Corellia.
We're going to see Corellia. We're going to see it. Whether it's not in 7, that planet will appear for sure.
I think we're just going to... Leia's going to be cooking some dinner for Han. Like, come on in. Welcome to Corellia.
Leia's going to be the queen of whatever the new government is.
But this shot right here with the three, and then that's where you can look at the S-foils are now
beat up it is.
It is. It's been used... Abrams knew what he was doing. Yeah. He goes, here's some familiar stuff.
It looks lived in.
Boom. Right.
What's
that
say about the government, though? Like, if that ship is so beat up and the stormtroopers are so clean.
You're right.
They don't have enough. I don't think they ever had the resources to battle the Empire.
Whether you go with the canon route or not, we know that after Jedi, like you said, the Death Star and some Wookiees and some Ewoks, it didn't end things. You tear down the Emperor's statue, there's still an entire
Grand Moffs.
It's not like you can move into the Death Star after you blow it up. You know, you still have Ewoks patching together X-Wings, so...
And I think as fans, we are all still tied to the notion that, well, 5 years after, you know, the Rebels were... They now became the New Republic, and they're on Coruscant. Abrams is not holding to
that. It's very hard to get a new stable government in place. Just because you overthrow the old government doesn't mean that the new government is going to be the winning team.
There's been... On our world, there have been governments that have been fighting for decades.
Yeah.
Okay? This is a universe... And a galaxy fighting technologies that they weren't equipped to handle. They barely could take out the first Death Star. They did it by accident, basically.
I'll go to one of my other haloed inspirational leaders, Tywin Lannister, who says there's a difference between winning and ruling.
Right, yeah. So
they might not have held it.
Anyway, so stuff's going down.
Next shot, JT. We move on here.
Now we get to the meat and potatoes.
The voiceover pops up first.
This gave me such a forced boner when I saw this guy walking because this is clear proof that JJ and everybody on the creative team making this story and everybody involved in the production has walked the floor at a comic book convention. Yeah. Recently, because this is the kind of fan art you always see. Yeah. You know, you always see pictures of like Darth Vader and like a pose you've never seen him in, and just somebody had a cool idea. This is what it looks like in the snow, an evil dude shrouded with a red lightsaber that's new that we've never seen before. That was awesome.
You knew something bad was coming, and you just said it. What do you hear before this shot?
The dark side.
That's right. And you got this character, and we'll speculate right now.
Yeah.
If I'm in Vegas, I'm going to lay some money down on Adam Driver. I'm going to lay more money down on Gwendolyn Christie.
I used to think that. I would take the bet on Christie. Here's why.
Yeah.
Christie, we don't know how tall this person is. It's cheated. We don't know how big those trees are. We don't know. I think it has a better shot if it's going to be a woman to be Lupita Nyong'o. I think Christie is going to be an Imperial Guard chasing Boyega. I was the guest.
Welcome back to Nerd Vegas Prop Bets.
Yeah, I know.
Bet all everything you have on Christie.
Now, the reason it could be Driver, Driver or even Donald Gleason, but I think Driver more so, is this person, whoever this is, I don't think that's a Sith Lord. I think that is someone who's been collecting Sith relics.
Oh, here we go.
I'm telling you.
He's all about this.
Yeah.
He likes to collect.
But here's why I think that, because, that sword comes out first, right? And then people lose their minds. Hit the next. Give it to me, JT. So when that comes out, some people are losing their minds over that, right?
Yeah.
Now, what if, there's two things. What if, first of all, this was in old EU.
Yeah.
What if that was not a cross guard and was an exhaust pipe? Because this is an old sword. A very old sword. And from the concept art that was leaked. Remember those stormtroopers things that were leaked?
I didn't look at them. Well, so don't spoil it too much.
But what I will tell you is that there was a leak of the villain that came out about a month ago.
Yeah.
And it looked like Darth Revan
from
the Old Republic video games.
Yeah.
And it had that sword. So when that popped up in the trailer, I went, whoa, wait a minute. Are we going to get Darth Revan or somebody who found Darth Revan's mask?
Yeah, I want to talk about a little bit, a couple comments here. Mladen Kulik on our Facebook page, he goes, I didn't like the trailer. And this is coming from a guy who likes original and prequel trilogy. The main reason why I don't like the trailer is a red lightsaber looking like a red light sword. Who came up with that stupid idea?
Right, exactly.
People lost their mind, but our very own Christian Ruvakabla Cobster, the associate producer of the Schmoes No Movie
Not
Show.
Not familiar with this work.
Says, loving the new look of this quote Sith and lightsaber gets me thinking about the rumors about someone obsessed with the Sith that he or she created their own lightsaber, hence a different look of the blade.
See, I mean, I watched this, and then I'll let Christian chime in too, is that when I saw this, just from the fan in me, I'm watching it, and it looks like this person's been in battle before. It looks like they know what they're doing. Okay. This is not their first time handling this lightsaber. This is not the first time they've been in battle with somebody who's good, and they're using a red lightsaber. That's clearly, you know, it's not a good thing that this person's walking around free, that their head isn't chopped off.
They're north of the wall, by the way. Yeah. They're looking for White Walkers to where they're landing.
And as far as speculation as to who that is, like, the first thought I had was, like, that could be a stuntman. But I think that JJ is calculating enough when he's making these trailers. And even you brought up, okay, so there's been two major leaks so far, right? The Stormtrooper outfit and then this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And these are both in the trailer.
Some more, too.
But I think that it's also, like, they know what information has gotten out.
Right.
And they can be like, hey, you know what? Okay, clearly, we'll show you that card that we have in our deck. We'll show you that
could
card.
Have been a, and it yeah. could, and the leak could have been intentional, too.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Could have
been. But this sold me on Star Wars, the battle between good and evil. This is somebody way high up in the evil universe.
And it's cut to look as though a battle's about to happen. Mm-hmm. They're being followed.
He's looking for Luke, baby.
This was something when I made a video on our channel where the speculation on this.
Oh,
like
you have 20, a channel?
Yeah, this is Schmoes Nice. Check it out. 23, 24 minutes. And
26. And worth every minute of it. Because we were talking about this before you did it. You said you really wanted to do this, and I was like, I think it's a great idea. Then I saw it was 26 minutes, and I'm like, that's a long video. And I watched it, and I was like, this is worth 26 minutes.
Well, thank you. Well, what the thing is, too, one of the comments that a fan wrote that I lost my mind of, and I hope it's true, what if, who the hell says that's current time? What if that's a flashback?
Oh, yeah.
What if that's a flashback and we see that is, in fact, Darth Revan, and whatever this storyline is in the through line, the awakening the Force.
Were there flashbacks when Palpatine is telling Hayden Christensen about
Plagueis? No.
There's no flashbacks. No. There's no nothing.
It's just Hayden acting facing.
Yeah, right.
So maybe there should have been flashbacks.
But what if? Maybe. And I got one more for you.
Yeah.
What if that's Luke Skywalker?
Ooh, I don't know. I think maybe here's how the movie starts. It flashbacks to this, then you cut to a teacher in a classroom going, all right, good, now that you've signed up to be stormtroopers. Yeah. I'm going to keep going back to that. But the speculation's awesome. Initial logic, my gut reaction was, well, it's Adam Driver because we've seen Boyega, Ridley.
I was initially with you as well, yeah.
From a Game of Thrones fan that I am, that walk is identical to Gwendolyn Christie.
I think
she has a clumsy grace to her. I love her to death. She's one of my favorite actors out there.
She hits a lot more fluid than Gwendolyn. When it snaps back.
Watch her when she's introduced in Game of Thrones and she's fighting the Knight of Flowers, Loras Tyrell. She has a gait to her.
Once that lean with the lightsaber, you see the shoulders. The shoulders look, dude. I mean, dude, center of gravity is in your shoulders, I mean, and women's are their hips. I know Gwendolyn Christie is very tough looking, and she.
I call her Drago on our review.
We were at Kamikaze. She was two booths over. She's gorgeous,
she's,
by the way.
She is, absolutely.
Gorgeous in person.
She's very, very tall. I was thinking it could be Luke, and I think part of this is, and you guys
You were
know
thinking
this,
it was Luke.
Is it? I mean, the thought crossed my mind. But then I'm also such a Luke fan, I don't want the fact that he ever went to the dark side to enter
into
my
head.
Yeah,
that's why I put Luke in front of you on the set today, because that's your favorite guy.
And Christian roots for the good guys to die.
This is like being Hulk Hogan when he became Hollywood Hogan and went back. I have you now.
Get away from me, Dad!
JTE, go to that shot that Christian provided of the Revan stuff, the first two shots you have. I want to talk a little bit about that. This is for the iTunes
audience.
Yeah,
this is cool.
What he's showing. If you don't know what Darth Revan looks like in the...
Well, that's the concept. That's the other side-by-side? Because that's that. Yeah, there you
Star
go.
Wars
the, so the con, so what we're looking at here is the concept art that leaked is on the far right. The picture from the left is the actual Darth Revan shot from the Old Republic games. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
it looks exactly like him. I mean, what I would say is that again, I'm guessing that whoever it is, what I'm hoping for, I think that planet that character was on was Moriband. I'm hoping, and which is the Sith homeworld, and he goes there and he finds relics, whether it be from Revan and Malak and Bane and Plagueis, and then you learn
kind of like an Indiana Jones of evil.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And in the that's a good way to look at it. In the Lost Clone Wars season 6, they introduce
Morban
and also Revan into canon. Bane. Did they invest in Bane?
Revan was supposed to be in canon in the third season of Clone Wars in the Mortis episode.
Gotcha.
There was a scene between Darth Revan and Darth Bane that was supposed to be in there, and it was written, it was shot, they were going to do everything with it, and then Lucas just at that time he was okay with making a canon, but at that time he it didn't fit for what they wanted to do, so they took him out. So Revan has always supposed to be introduced into canon, and we don't know yet if the Old Republic has been struck from canon.
I have a question. Darth Revan.
Yeah.
Male or female, do we know?
Could be from the way the games go, could be either.
The way the games go.
The way that the video game, the Old Republic.
Oh, okay.
You could play as a woman or a male.
So if you guys, again, if we're in Vegas right now and you got to put money on who is wielding that lightsaber, this is a very tough thing and I'm not leaning so confidently either way. I still got to go with Gwendolyn Christie by a hair over Adam Driver.
Okay. And Lupita Nyong'o's not a bad choice either, and Mark Hamill's not a bad choice either.
Right.
That's what I love about this. And if you're out there too, I want you to make sure you can join this conversation on Twitter at Jedi Alliance SK and our Facebook page, hashtag on Twitter Jedi Alliance, and hashtag more specifically Dark Sith Theory. And we'll read them next week on what who we think this person might be. This was what was fun about it. And for the record, I love that lightsaber.
Yeah.
I love
it. It's like an old school relic, man. Look at the thing.
It's a broadsword. It is, and whether it's exhaust or not, it has a medieval look to it that I love.
The beautiful thing about Star Wars is that you've always been able to read into it as much or as little as you want to, especially when it comes to religion and what the Force means and what it's based on. If you want to look at that and say, oh man, they're really throwing the Christianity at us, then have at it, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your life. But it's like, it also just looks awesome. Can we just also say that if I was battling somebody and I had Luke's green lightsaber and somebody turns that on, then I see those two things sticking out of the side, that's good, even if it's not functional. It's going to give me pause and be like, what the hell is coming out of this blade?
Yeah.
I could not believe. I mean, I can't. I absolutely take the back. I can believe there was so much debate on the internet over this lightsaber.
Absolutely. It's
because
fun.
It's Star Wars.
Yeah.
But some people are really upset about it serves no purpose. Other people are. I saw you put out the cross guard blocks, hands getting chopped off. I just go to the fact it looks freaking
cool. Awesome.
It looks cool.
What's the best part? One of the best parts of Phantom Menace? Darth Maul's lightsaber.
But I really love the theory of it being old because one of the first constructed lightsabers because they were trying to figure it out because what they've been doing in canon now in Clone Wars and in Rebels, they're making it totally clear that they want to show you how important crystals are. They have shown you how crystals are.
The Kyber crystals.
The huge Kyber crystal is the one that powered the Death Star. Yeah. That is canon now.
Are they made of midichlorians?
No, they're not. And I don't think we're ever going to hear that word ever again.
What are midichlorians,
you know, it's
sir?
Funny. When my brother and I watched the fan-made trailer, and then we were talking on Thanksgiving like all day about it, is my brother's one thing that he just does not want to see in Episode 7. He's like, I want them to talk about midichlorians like scientists do when we thought the Earth was flat. Like, he wants that actually be something that we thought was real,
but
and
it's
not
true
anymore.
That's great.
So from here, this is, but, I mean...
And the light.
This is the bad, and then that's right. You've got and the light.
And
go
then,
ahead. JT, bring that last shout up because it goes to dark. You hear the light, then you hear the familiar sounds of both John Williams' music cue and the Millennium Falcon.
And the artistic quality that went into making this trailer, this is where it really pays off because you hear the voiceover say, and the light, and then you're waiting like a good second, 2 seconds, and
that
just
beat.
It beat, and it just, the buildup was perfect.
Because in that moment, I'm going to break it down to that half split second. I'm watching this, and you hear, and the light, and you're like, is it going to be Luke, Han, Leia, Chewie? R2. No, it's the Falcon. Like, that was such a great, well-played moment by Abrams and his team.
And that also shows you started with Tatooine, you end on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Because you have Tatooine, it flies at the evasive maneuver in there on Tatooine. Now, if we're going to speculate, again,
I think we are.
Who's in there? I'm going to tell you that Han and Chewie are driving. Whatever.
I love that. Now we're speculating on the guest list.
But,
on the
but listen. But here's why. But here's why. Listen. So you have
Han
and Chewie. Han and Chewie are in there, right? And they've picked up Daisy Ridley, and they've picked up Boyega, and they're going on a mission to find Luke.
Find Luke.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Does the Falcon just pull along next to him? like in American Graffiti or something. Like, get, hey, get on in,
kids. Yeah.
Come well, on I mean, in.
Get off my Falcon.
You guys want some cocoa?
I wasn't even thinking who was flying it the first time I saw it. I was so taken by the way that the shot had, the way that JJ did the shot. And it really is like the next evolution of the famous Lucas shot when the X-Wing is going into the Death Star trench for the first time.
Yeah.
And everybody in 1977 saw that in the theater and thought, man, I'm really going with the action. This just blew my mind how good that looked.
And basic clearly, maneuver, too.
This is computer generated.
Yeah.
Slash maybe some model work. We don't know. But
that's an actual ship flying kit.
Oh, it's real, right? Well, it does have the contrails coming out of it. But what Abrams, what he did in Star Trek so well, I mean, this looks real.
Mm-hmm.
When the Falcon's flying in the sky, your suspension of disbelief is so much better than the prequels.
Yeah.
Which the whole time you're like, this is a Commodore 64 computer generated.
Well, you feel you're back. You're back where you were when you left it last time. And it's great that he's sticking to continuity because that dish is gone,
the new
man.
Dish, the square dish.
Yeah, it's great. It's gone. It's, and I love that they did that. And it gives me hope. It was I know this isn't a bash to prequels thing too, but one of the things that always bothered me was you had this great story that Obi-Wan told Luke in episode 4 about the Clone Wars and everything about Anakin. Was a good friend, and then when you go back in time, and even with Leia, when Leia said she remembers her mother, and none of it made sense.
She died of a broken heart, Christian.
Right, but none of it made sense, and he didn't pay because he figured, it doesn't matter. They'll forget. We don't forget as Star Wars fans. And JJ, just by that little change, shows us that he's not going
to
forget.
Well, that's true, and just to be devil's advocate, like, we didn't get all that broken heart dying crap when she was born in the trailer. Like, we got some cool stuff in the trailer for the first
trailer.
For all the prequels.
Sure.
And that's all we're talking about here, too.
No, I know, but I'm just saying because you don't see that dish there anymore, and there's something new. That means that he's paying attention to what happened in the previous.
He's honoring the legacy that is Star Wars, and I mean, this is also a credit to the movie making. That when you're in the theater, because I saw this on the big screen, you know, later this weekend, and I snuck into a couple other movies and saw the trailer a couple other times on the big screen. And George Lucas made a lot of his money. A lot of Skywalker Ranch is built on the Dolby sound effects and the sound that he pioneered. And hearing that when the music comes in and you hear the TIE fighters whistling in that familiar TIE fighter scene.
Oh,
do not underestimate how great sound effects are in making you believe that this is real Star Wars again.
Yeah,
it did it so well in this shot.
Yeah, to end on that, that was spectacular. Like, you're right. This shot we're looking at now, it's the shot you're seeing on everyone's screensavers. And JT's got the Marvel guys up on his screensaver back there now. It is...
he's got a picture of Finstock in a bikini.
It's a TIE fighter shooting the laser bolt, blasting past the Falcon. Like you said, that's Star Wars. Now, another quick note here. None of this happens in space. Nothing in this trailer happens in space.
True. I think that's also holding it back for Celebration.
I think so too.
I think you're going to get about a 2.5 minute trailer for Celebration where you're going to see all the classic characters. You're going to see space battles. You're going to see Star Destroyers. You're going to see the villain. You're going to see everything. Because you're only going to have about, if you look at it in a timeline, if it comes out April is when that'll probably debut. And that's about 7-8 months. That's the same amount of time that the Ultron trailer came out.
Yeah, I mean, the crawl text would look really weird if it was set against the backdrop of sand. Like, you're just not even going to be able to read it. So, a lot of stuff's going to take place in outer space. And I get that the complaint about this trailer is that, why didn't they show us more footage? It's like, this is over a year out, and they wrapped principal photography like a month ago.
They're still working on stuff.
The first Phantom Menace trailer came out around Thanksgiving, and that movie was coming out in May. So that's the timelines we're talking about here. Just the fact that you got to see as much as we did really impressed me, and how well the effects look. Like that looks like a finished product to me.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Yeah, you're right. The Phantom Menace trailer, we didn't have that much time.
It was November and then May.
It was November. Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to close some of the speculation on Tristan Meyer. Maude brought it up as well. We talked about it a little bit, but I want to get a little bit more on it. Tristan Meyer wrote, I was wondering if you guys are disappointed we didn't see any of the old characters. The teaser focused entirely on the new cast, and really liked that. Shows were in for new Star Wars for new era. Again, we talked about it, but I want to kind of close this whole thing with that. I think we're going to get them soon in the next one, but the fact that they made that conscious decision to not show you any of the old things,
it's crucial.
One thing for me, it shows Abrams has some confidence in what he's done.
Cockiness. I love cockiness in art, and that is what this is.
It's crucial. You have to do this. These are the characters that are going to, if we do not connect to those characters right away, and if we don't, we're talking about them now. We're getting used to them right now.
Yes.
If we didn't get used to them now, then they're taking us through 7, 8, 9. You have to give us them first. It's just it's just smart.
And you already got to see some chops. I mean, Oscar Isaac, everybody knows what a great actor he is, and I didn't know that much about Boyega or Ridley going into this, but even just when Boyega wakes up and it's like, I felt like I knew that dude. I felt like relatable to him. What you said about the look on Ridley's face is like, that's a little bit, she's being hurried. Maybe she's concerned, maybe she's confident, but she's sweating this moment, whatever's happening. And you never really got that from even the Phantom Menace trailer where you see Natalie Portman looking off into a CGI distance, which again, I love that trailer. I love the fact that if you told me going into this, you're not going to see bearded Mark Hamill, I would have been like, well, I lost money. Because I thought that's what you were going to get. Right. And the fact that this didn't lean on it until the end when it let us celebrate the legacy of Star Wars with the Millennium Falcon, who, by the way, is a character.
Yeah. Right. Then, absolutely.
I mean, this thing just knocked it so far out of the park.
Strategy by Team Abrams to do that. Yeah. Absolutely. They're putting over the new generation because they're going to be with us for a long, long time. That and the final comment, Shane Clifford writes, screw the teaser. I want to know what happened to Cy Snoodles. Where's her career?
That's the next spinoff.
I think, unfortunately, Snoodles may have bit the big one on the sail barge.
Yeah, probably didn't end well for her.
So that is that, man. We've got over a year to wait. But this was one of the more seminal moments in the fandom of Star Wars, without a doubt, because we're talking about it now. It's all out there. Everyone's putting them. Even JTE, who hates Star Wars.
Hates it.
Hates it.
JT, get on there a little bit. Tell us a little bit.
He changed it back to Marvel. He put Marvel and Boba Fett on there now.
Because
he went to his roots because he knew he was being a hack. Before.
Yeah, JT, I know you love Star Wars, but you'd love other things maybe a little bit more. But you had the same feeling for this trailer too, right?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it more than I thought I would. And it's one thing when you hear about this movie all the time and you hear about the production, the cast. When you see it on the screen and you see that lightsaber and that Sith just
did you see it on
so
the big
badass.
Screen?
Yeah, no, I didn't, but I put on my 50-inch TV.
Yeah.
I watched it on YouTube app, and it just... I felt like a kid again.
That's a great point, Jatezi. You see all these
my
rumors...
My 50-inch TV, my roommate.
And all these... nice computer. Who got the new hyperdrive in there for you? Yeah. So I think that I felt like a football player like before the big game, and you're in the locker room. And we've been in the locker room for Episode 7 since Chris and I did that video, 3 years ago?
Oh, man.
That it was announced that they're going to make these movies. And so now, for 3 years, we've had Coach draw up plays, and we're studying, and we got to... Okay, this is where I run, and this was the first time that we got to get on the field and hit somebody. And now we're locked in. And Kenny, I disagree with you when you said that we have to wait over a year. We don't. All we have to do is get to the next trailer, baby.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all we got to worry about. And I think what this trailer did is it saved lives. Because the suicide attempts are going to go so far down in 2015. Crime is going to be non-existent. Nobody's going to want to be in prison movie comes out.
I got to give you credit because Mark just put up this a stand-up video that he did on Schmo Plus talking about this stuff. And it's a thought that I've been having for a long time.
Oh, you do stand-up?
He's all right. but he was talking about how he's got to change his eating habits just so he can make the next... And I literally have been thinking that. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know what? God forbid, I've been driving carefully now. Yeah, like, it's like, not because my 3-year-old's in the car, because I want to see Star Wars.
And just a quick point of that, I got to say thanks to a fan named Van, who came to the shows in Cleveland this weekend. The night that I taped that set that I put on Schmo Plus, I was talking about Star Wars, he brought me this Star Wars shirt afterwards. Nice. It's like the greatest fan gift I've ever gotten. Yeah. So thank you so much.
That is great. Yeah, this could have gone so horribly wrong.
Or much longer.
Yeah, this could have that trailer could have shown up, and it could have been. I'm not talking about the show,
and it could have just been the title, and I would have been fine with that.
I would have been fine, but he also it could have been. We are all hypersensitive right now because of what happened.
Yeah,
12 years ago or so, but we didn't get that. We got something great. We're talking about it now. We've been talking about it here for over an hour. We're going to keep talking about it up until the next one comes out. Yep. like I said, this was a special edition of Jedi Alliance. Normally, we like to celebrate the franchise and talk about the past. This is looking to the future. What we did today, and I couldn't have had two better co-pilots for this. Journey, Christian and Mark, thank you so much for taking time of your busy schedule to come on in here.
Yeah, I got a special announcement for your fans as well.
Let's do that, yeah.
So, fans of Jedi Alliance, guess what? Starting next week, you guys will be able to watch this show live on YouTube. That's right, on Popcorn Talk Network. You guys, if you're subscribed, you can watch it live. We'll make sure that we're going to tweet out and let you know the exact times and everything, too. But this show's, all the other shows are going to be live as well. But starting next week, live Jedi Alliance.
So exciting, just like Peter Pan on NBC this Thursday.
And you can watch that show live and all other episodes of Jedi Alliance by subscribing to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. You can also find profiles, Guilty Movie Pleasures, Meet the Movie Press, Marvel Movie News, DC Movie News, Box Office Breakdown, Anatomy of the Movie, and of course, Every week we do the Schmoes No movie show, the main show, the big show, live from this studio on SchmoesNo.com, 6 p.m. PST. This week we've got Amy Rose Eisenbach joining us, yeah. And you guys are going to be there. We're going to talk, I'm sure, a little bit about this.
We're probably going to drop some knowledge about this.
Do not forget to catch Jedi Alliance on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review. Follow us on Twitter at Jedi Alliance SK and at the Popcorn Talk and at Schmoes No. Go to SchmoesNo.com and PopcornTalkNetwork.com for more. This has been Jedi Alliance of the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.